You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
It's so good to be with you this morning. Welcome to all of you as today we continue the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Anxious for Nothing. We're talking about this really important topic of anxiety because some of you look a little bit stressed out. Come on, you're like, Pastor, I'm doing just fine. I'm okay this morning. It's good. Catch your breath. Wasn't that worship good this morning? We needed that. Come on. And so we're dealing with this topic of anxiety, and let's just acknowledge that anxiety is something that's really complex. So we have to approach it holistically, right? Because it's physiological, it's emotional, it's psychological, it's always spiritual. So we're going to approach it holistically, right? Of course, we're dealing with it spiritually in this series. In my life group a couple weeks ago, we actually talked about some of the things that we do, some of the healthy things that we do to help cope with our anxiety, because we're actually studying this series together in life groups because we believe we're better together. Can I get an amen, somebody? So we were talking about this, and there were some really good ideas. So some people in my group, they like to do retail therapy. Come on, anybody in here, you like to do retail therapy? When you get a little stressed out, the credit card comes out. Now, the only bad thing about that is the anxiety can creep up when you get the credit card statement, you know, later on. I'm just saying. Some people like to do retail therapy. Some people like to get out and go for a prayer walk. That's really good. I like to do that. Some people in my group mentioned they like to get out and run or exercise. That's really good. A lot better than breaking furniture around the house when you're stressed out. Somebody mentioned they take a warm shower. Come on. Nothing more relaxing than just a good old warm shower. I've even heard of some moms who lock themselves in the bathroom. Come on, any of you moms ever pulled that one before? The kids are outside knocking on the door like, what's going on in there, mom? And you're just like tuning them out in the bathroom. So there's all kind of different ways that we can approach anxiety. Of course, in this series, we're taking a spiritual approach and we're looking at a key passage from Philippians chapter 4. This is really one of my favorite passages, really powerful passage of scripture. And let me just set this up for you before we read this together. The Apostle Paul is writing to these Philippian Christians living in the city of Philippi, and he's under house arrest in Rome. House arrest. He's got a Roman guard assigned to him at all times. He doesn't have his freedom. Talk about somebody who could be stressed out. Talk about somebody who had a reason to be anxious. Talk about somebody whose future was uncertain. I don't know whether I'm going to live or die. And in the middle of this situation, the Apostle Paul actually pens these words. Let's look at it together. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Why don't you just read this out loud with me at home, in person. Let's read this together. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Some translations say, be anxious for nothing. Would somebody read that again with me this morning with a little bit of faith in this room? Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to focus for just a moment on that very first verse that we read, verse 4. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And as if we didn't get it, he's like, I want to make sure you get this. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, how many of you know this is a really good inspirational scripture to quote? You know, it's really nice to put in a greeting card. But let's just acknowledge it's not always easy to receive when we're going through a difficult time, right? I mean, you know, if I was going through a really bad day, let's say I had a flat tire on a way to a meeting and I was totally late from a meeting and I called you later on and told you about my bad day. If you stopped me, you said, well, Pastor, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I'd be like, I'm going to give you something to rejoice about, right? Let's be honest. This is not as easy to receive as it is to quote. Let's also acknowledge that it's not as easy to put into action either. Rejoice in the Lord always? Like when I get a bad diagnosis from the doctor and I'm freaked out, rejoice then? Rejoice in the Lord always when I get an unexpected bill that wasn't in the budget. Rejoice when my classmates are gossiping about me. Hello, teenagers. Rejoice when I find out that my spouse has been dishonest with me. Like, rejoice always? Like, how could Paul have this attitude? How could Paul rejoice when he was locked up? How could Paul praise God when he was in prison in Rome? And the simple answer is, this morning, he had perspective. He had perspective. He had the perspective of praise. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, what does perspective mean? It's not a trick question. We all know perspective is simply how you see something, right? Perspective is simply how you see something. Isn't it amazing that two different people can look at the same thing and see something totally different? Have you experienced this? This happens to me and Amy all the time. Like, you know, we drive past a house and I'm like, oh, isn't that a pretty gray house? And she's like, that's not a gray house. Maybe it's bluish gray. It usually happens to us with like colors, right? And she thinks I'm colorblind. I'm not colorblind. It's just that women see shades of color that men haven't even heard of before. Like, it's purple. No, it's magenta. Like, what is magenta? Guys, we don't even know what this stuff is. This happens to me and Amy all the time. How many of you know that a shift in perspective can change the way you see everything? When you shift perspective, it can change the way you see everything. When you see it from a totally different perspective. This past summer, when we were on family vacation, we went to Maine for a few days, and we went to Acadia National Park, and I saw that several of you went to Maine this summer and went to Acadia National Park. The secret's out. It's a really great place to go, all right? There's like no coronavirus there. Let's all go. Don't too many of you go now. Don't ruin it for the rest of us. But we went to Maine, and we spent a couple days in Acadia National Park, and we're not like hardcore hikers, but one of the places we really enjoy is the Otter Cliff Trail. Now, Otter Cliff, it is this trail that runs along the ocean, and on one side, you have these beautiful, like, huge cliffs and boulders and like mountains, and on the other side is like the vast ocean. And one of the things I love about that particular trail is when you're there, it's like you're just totally engulfed in the beauty of nature. Like, you feel so small. Like, don't we want to be in spaces like that when you go somewhere just to feel the vastness and beauty of creation? And when you're on a trail like that, you feel like it feels so huge and you feel so small. Well, later on that day, we went up on Cadillac Mountain, which is another really famous place in Acadia National Park. And we were looking out over, you can see much of the park from Cadillac Mountain. And there are these different signs to kind of help you, you know, it's identifying key points so you can tell what you're looking at. And we actually looked out and we realized we were looking at Otter Point, like where the Otter Cliff Trail was that we actually hiked on. And guess what? From up on Cadillac Mountain, it looks so small. I'm like, Aaron, boys, come see this. Look how small that looks from up here. Like, when we're down there, it felt so huge. But from up on top of the mountain, it just felt like this little tiny point. How many of you know that perspective makes all the difference? Come on, what was the difference? The difference was perspective. It's amazing how a negative person can look at the same thing as a positive person, and all they see is obstacles, but a positive person sees opportunities. Come on, how many of you know it makes a difference whether you see things through the lens of faith or whether you see things through the lens of fear? Come on, whether you see things through the lens of anxiety and stress and worry and doubt or through the lens of trust and dependence and faith. Perspective makes all the difference. And so today we're going to talk about having and developing a perspective of praise, because that's what Paul had. Because the Apostle Paul could have looked at his situation in house arrest in Rome, in Philippians, and he could have been like, this is a really bad deal. In fact, at the beginning of Philippians, he talks about his situation. And I want to read this to you from the BPV. Now, some of you have never heard of the BPV translation. That's because it's made up. This is the bad perspective version, okay, of Philippians chapter 1. This is what the bad perspective version sounds like. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me really sucks. Come on, God let me down. I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, depression, and hopelessness because of the hell I've been through, and I'm quitting life group and never going back to church. That is the bad perspective version. Come on, some of you, that resonates with you. Like, I've felt that way before. I've been that way before. Instead, we're going to look at what Paul wrote, and this is from the perspective of praise. This is the NIV, like actual legit version. Are you ready? Here's what it says, Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Did you get that? Paul says, like, I want you to understand what's happening here. He had a perspective of praise. He says, what's happened to me being under house arrest here in Rome, it's actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear to the whole palace guard, everyone else, that I am in chains for Christ. Come on. Paul says they thought I was a prisoner, but what they didn't realize is when they locked me up with all these people, they gave me a captive audience. Come on, lock the doors, guys. I'm going to have a captive audience for a few minutes here. You don't give a preacher a captive audience. And Paul says, no, I'm flipping this thing around because every Roman guard they put in here, I have an opportunity to preach the gospel. Who's the prisoner now? See how his perspective, it just changed everything. My situation has allowed me to share the gospel with more people. Here's the idea. You can put this in your notes this morning if you're taking notes. Sometimes our worst seasons of adversity become our greatest moments of opportunity. Come on, somebody came to church this morning to hear that. Sometimes our worst seasons of adversity become our greatest seasons of opportunity. I've come to experience that in my life. But here's the truth. Oftentimes, we miss out on the opportunities that God is wanting to give us because we have a bad perspective. We have a bad perspective. We can't see what God is trying to show us. In fact, when what we see as a prison, the Apostle Paul saw as a pulpit. He saw as an opportunity, as a platform to share the gospel. Come on, it's all about perspective. Turn to somebody and tell them it's all about perspective. Tell them through your mask. If you're at home, preach to somebody in the living room. Type it in the comments. Come on, it's all about perspective. Now, what's interesting is that this wasn't the first time that the Apostle Paul was in prison. In Acts chapter 16, we read about how Paul and his associate, Pastor Silas, they were actually in the city of Philippi, the very same city that we're reading this letter to the Philippians about. So in Acts kind of, you know, gives us the missionary journeys, and then later on, Paul writes all the letters to all these different cities, right? So in Acts chapter 16, he's in the very city of Philippi, the people he's writing to now. And guess what kind of wonderful reception Paul got when he went to Philippi? He had such a wonderful time. Actually, what happened to him is they arrested him, they beat him, and they threw him in jail. Welcome to Philippi. We hope you enjoyed your visit with us. That's what happens to him. So just to set it up for you, what happens is Paul and Silas, they're preaching, and there's this slave girl who was possessed with an evil spirit following them around. They cast the evil spirit out of this girl. Well, it just so happens that she had a gift of being a fortune teller, and she was making a lot of money for her masters. So her masters weren't very happy with Paul and Silas. So they take them and drag them to the local magistrates. They accuse them of stirring up trouble. They get roughed up, they get beat up, and they get thrown in jail. Let's read about it. Acts chapter 16, verses 23-24. After they had been severely flogged, this is Paul and Silas had been flogged, they had been whipped, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet with stocks. So here's Paul and Silas, they're preaching the gospel. They're doing the very thing God called them to do, the very thing that they were commanded to do, and they were being obedient. And what happens to them? Are they rewarded with blessings and goodness? No. They end up beaten and thrown in jail. Now, can you imagine how Paul and Silas could have reacted to that situation? Well, here we are. We're sitting in jail. All we did was what God called us to do. He told us to go to this city and preach the gospel. We did what God called us to do. And what did happen? Where did it land us? It landed us beat up and in prison. You could picture them saying that, right? Come on. We've all been there before. I signed up to work in the kids ministry today and some kid threw a fit on me. All I'm trying to do is God's work. No, I'm just kidding. Our kids team would never say that. They're amazing. We've all been there before though, right? Come on, guest services. I was giving people coffee and refreshments and smiling and somebody walked past me and gave me the stank eye. That's how we feel. We're like, God, I was doing your work. I was being nice to my coworkers. I was trying to be a good spouse. Wait, what happened to me? What did I get out of it? Instead, that's not what they do. What do they do? What do? They decide to have a worship night. Yeah, they decide to have a worship party. They're beat up, they're in jail, unjustly accused, wrongly treated, and what do? They decide to have a worship night. This would be like you getting some really bad news. You know, can you picture this? You call a friend, hey, you won't believe what happened. You won't believe what happened to me today. My company's downsizing, and I got laid off from work. Come on, let's have a worship party. Now's a really good time. Let's get together and have a worship night. That's exactly what Paul and Silas do. And so here's the question. How is that even possible, right? Well, it's all about perspective. Are you starting to get it? It's all about perspective. It's all about having the perspective of praise. And so, you know, so often what we do in our circumstances is we tend to look at them through the lens of anxiety and through stress and through doubt. And what happens is instead of focusing on all of the other good things that we have in our lives, we get like tunnel vision and we're only focused on that one area of our life that's not working out like we wanted to. Happens to me all the time. I counsel people, pray for people all the time. People come to me for help and there's this one area of their life, and I'm not saying some of you might be in a season where there's multiple things, but they're telling me about this one area of their life that's not working out, but there's like 1,000 other good things that are happening in their life. All of these blessings around them, but they got tunnel vision focused on the one area of their life that's not working, and it colors everything, and it changes their perspective. I know I'm not preaching to anybody in the room this morning, but I need to hear this today. And so it colors our perspective. How would it change things if you could look at your situation with a different perspective? Through the perspective of praise, through the perspective of gratitude. God, everything that I have in my life is a gift from you. I wasn't entitled to any of it. God, the very breath in my lungs, the health you gave me, the roof you put over my head, the water and the food and the automobile. Come on, I can just keep going. All these blessings you gave. How would it change things if you began to look at your life that way instead of focusing on the one or two things that aren't playing out like you'd like them to? Now let's keep going in our story. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Here's what it says. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine being in the jail cell next to Paul and Silas? Notice what they were doing. They were praying and worshiping while they were still in prison, while they were still in jail. Now, some of you already know how the story ends, so you're racing ahead, but pause for just a moment. They're worshiping before God has showed up to do anything in their lives. They're not blessed right now. They're in prison. They're beat up, and they're worshiping. Come on. They weren't praising God for the what. They were praising God for the who. Come on. They weren't praising God for what he had done for them because he hadn't done anything just yet. They were simply praising God for who he was. This is praise before provision. This is praise for the goodness and the character of God. Paul and Silas had this mentality. God, no matter the situation, no matter what we're going through, whether we deserve this or not, whether you show up and deliver us or you don't show up, whether you answer my prayer or you don't answer my prayer, I choose to worship you because you're God, because you're good, because you're sovereign, because you're in control, and I'm worshiping you for who you are, not just because of what you can do for me. And we get so caught up sometimes in only conditioning our worship based on what God has done for us. But Paul and Silas teach us something here about worshiping God for the who. Now, here's what happens. In just a few moments, we're going to read this. God shows up and responds in a miraculous way. He literally shakes that jail cell and sets Paul and Silas free. They get a miracle, okay? So I'm giving you a little spoiler alert, a little fast forward to the end here. Why did I tell you that? Because knowing how this story plays out in Acts chapter 16 gives us some perspective when we read the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 that we've been reading every week, where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Are you putting this together? This really gives us some perspective. In Acts chapter 16, Paul experiences a miracle. This was before his time in Rome, okay? Track with me. Acts chapter 16, he experiences a miracle. They worship and God shows up and he gets delivered from prison. Fast forward later on in his life in Philippians chapter 1, Paul's under house arrest and God is not showing up miraculously. Things are not looking good. No miraculous, like, you know, shaking of the prison cell. He is under house arrest, but he still rejoices anyway. Even in that circumstance, even in that situation, when God wasn't performing the miracle that he performed previously, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. God, whether you answer my prayer or you don't answer my prayer, God, whether you do things on my timetable or you do things on your timetable, God, whether you set me free from this prison, from this situation, from this dead-end marriage, from this dead-end job, from this thing that I'm going through, or whether you allow me to go through it, I'm going to praise you anyway. That ought to help somebody understand what it means to rejoice in the Lord always. And so here's the idea. Praise doesn't necessarily change your circumstances, but it always changes your perspective. Come on, it doesn't always change your circumstances. I wish I could tell you that as you begin to praise, as you begin to worship, all of your anxiety is going to go away. That might happen. It's a great place to start. I wish I could tell you that as you begin to worship, every problem in your life is going to go away. Oh man, if only it was that easy, right? Come on, let's just put on Waymaker and start worshiping and everything's going to be fine. It doesn't always change everything in your situation, but it always changes your perspective. And so I want to invite the worship team to come up and join me. In just a moment, we're going to put the message into practice. So come on, I want you to prepare your heart to worship God in the middle of whatever it is you're facing, whatever stress you're going through, whatever unanswered prayers you have, whatever your pressure points are right now. Look at this again. Let's look at what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Knowing all that we know now, knowing all that he went through in Acts chapter 16, knowing the backdrop of his story, here's what he says. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. It's actually served to advance the gospel. Like, God has brought good out of this. Yeah, he didn't show up for me in Philippians chapter 1 like he did back when I was in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, but it's God's worked it all out for good. You know, I opened this series a couple weeks ago by telling you guys about a season of anxiety that I went through back in 2014. That really was a debilitating, unexpected, surprise season of anxiety. I'm not a person with a history of anxiety. I'm not somebody who's really an anxious person, but back in 2014, when we first moved to Westchester to begin to lay the foundation to plant this church, and some of you know our story, we had taken this greatest leap of faith we've ever taken in our lives, greatest financial leap of faith, left family and friends behind, and I began to experience anxiety. I'd wake up in the morning and could barely catch my breath. Felt like I had a weight on my chest, had a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. And for the better part of a year, I struggled with anxiety so much that I felt like I couldn't get out of bed and function most days. Fast forward to 2015, we end up planting the church and opening the church over at the AMC Theater, and God shows up and the church takes off and begins to grow. And before I know it, that season of anxiety is in my rearview mirror. But do you want to know what came out of that season for me? Do you want to know what came out of that season of anxiety for me? God took my trial and he turned it into a testimony. Come on, God was developing a story that wasn't just for me, it was for somebody else. Because even when I was going through that difficult time, that time of anxiety, when my own church wasn't even open, God began to give me glimpses of one day I was going to tell my story to other church planters, to other pastors, and I was going to help them out. Now, that doesn't even make sense when you're going through it, when you don't even know. By all means, it was looking like this was a failure. I cannot tell you, church, how many times I've been on the phone since then with a church planter or a pastor who was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know the way forward. I feel like giving up. And God has used my testimony, my story, over and over again. I can testify with faith, with conviction, and say, God is faithful. Come on, hold on to him. Trust in him. God's got you. He sees you. Come on. He took me all the way to Sweden to get up in front of a bunch of church planters all the way across the ocean and tell them my story. He took my story. He took my trial and he turned it into a testimony. And I just want you to know this morning, church, what you're going through isn't just for you. Somebody needs your story. Come on, somebody needs your story. You're not at the end of your story. You're just in the middle of it. You're just in a chapter of your story. Somebody needs what you've been through. Somebody needs your experience, your hurt, what stressed you out, what caused you anxiety. I came here to church this morning to tell you this morning, church family, that nothing is wasted with God. He is a redemptive God. Come on, God is able to recycle your adversity and turn it into a ministry. He uses the good, he uses the bad, he uses the ugly, he takes it all, he brings healing to our lives, and he uses what you've been through to bless someone else so that you can say like the Apostle Paul, what's actually happened has served to advance the gospel. I can stand here today and say 2014, I went through a season of anxiety like I've never been through before, but what happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Come on, somebody. That's our good God. And so faith means this. Faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Come on, somebody needs to write that down today. Faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. The season you're walking through right now might not even make sense till years from now, months from now. Who knows how this whole coronavirus thing is going to play out, right? Isn't that the biggest question mark? Can 2020 just fast forward and get through this? What you're going through often in life doesn't make sense till years of perspective later. Some of you got enough years of wisdom in life, you know that. But here's the amazing thing about faith. If you can grab that perspective and say, God, I don't know how this is going to play out, but I know one day it's going to make sense. I know one day, God, even if it's the day I stand before you, it's all going to make sense. And so, God, I choose to grab that from the future and bring that into the present. That is the gift of faith. And so now, God, I'm going to walk through this situation knowing that one day it's all going to play out. It's all going to work out. I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to fully understand it all. I may not get it now, but I choose to walk it out and experience it like that right now. That is the perspective of faith. And I'll tell you one thing, it changes everything. It changes everything. So come on, I want you to stand with me. As you stand with me, let me read the rest of the story. Here's the Apostle Paul. Here's Peter. Here's Paul and Silas, and they're beat up, they're banged up, maybe got a couple cracked ribs, bloody nose, broken nose, sitting with their feet in stocks, you know, chained up in this jail. You know, can you picture Paul? Hey, Silas, you awake over there? You good, man? Hey, we're still alive. Come on, we're still here. If nothing else, we can rejoice about that. We ain't dead. Come on, everybody can say that this morning. Lord, I'm still alive. No matter what I'm going through, coronavirus, homeschooling my kids, having to learn fifth grade math all over again, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But I'm still here. I'm still alive. Hey, come on, man, let's worship. Come on, remember that hymn we used to sing back in the day? Let's worship. God is still good. He's on the throne. He's in charge. Here's what it says, Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 26. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Come on, church. Sometimes the key that unlocks your miracle is the sound of your praise. You ought to just praise because you don't know what's going to happen. God might just show up in the middle of it anyway. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to put the message into practice. Come on, let's prepare to lift our voices. Let me pray for you. Prepare your heart to worship no matter what you're going through, no matter what season you're experiencing, no matter what your anxiety is, what your stress is, what your pressure point is. Would you pray with me, Lord? Today, we thank you that you're good. We thank you that you're sovereign. We thank you that, Lord, you're in charge, that nothing catches you off guard. Nothing shakes you. The things that rattle us don't rattle you. And Lord, today, we choose to worship. We choose to focus on who you are. We choose to declare today that, God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. And we're going to worship before you show up. We're going to worship whether you answer our prayer or whether you never answer our prayer, whether you set us free or whether we have to walk this thing out, because we choose to believe that you are a good God and you're in control. And this is how we fight our battle.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.